Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week. We talk about things going on in the theme park industry in the UK. We look overseas. We see about exciting new park developments. And sometimes we have exciting, interesting guests on with us as well, which we have this week. I'm Bex. This is Kev.
Hi, everyone.
And I am so happy to be recording this episode, finally. We are joined by someone who I've wanted to have on Parkcast for so long, who represents the park that we as a podcast, and I think the enthusiast community in general in the UK, have been waxing lyrical about for the last couple of years. It is many people's favourite park in the UK, which I guess 10 years ago none of us thought we'd be saying, but here we are. Lawrence Mansey from Poulton's Park, welcome to Parkcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for your very kind words. I'm blushing.
I'm not just genuinely not just saying it. You know, go back to previous episodes of Parkcast, and you'll hear people like Kip Hakes talking about how it's his favourite park. Sam Coastertog is quite blatant that it's his favourite park in the UK, and he's a massive Alton Towers fan. But you have pipped them to the post. And it's amazing the things that you've been doing with Poulton. So, yeah, I would desperately wanted to get you on so we could talk about all
people
the changes.
People just talk positively about it, don't they, Bex? People just talk about it so positively. We've had so much good feedback and positivity about it.
Which is unusual for theme park enthusiasts, which no doubt you're very aware of.
We see the negative side of it as well, don't worry.
You're always
going to have complaints, aren't you? But no, the vast majority of people have a very, very good day at Poulton's, and we're very, very proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, let's take it back to the start, because obviously Poulton's is still a family-owned park, which is amazing. Am I right in thinking you actually grew up in the park?
Not quite that extreme, but yes, I grew up I grew up very close to the park, and I've lived pretty much here all my life, so it's my home as well as my job.
That's crazy. Was it your grandparents who were kind of running it at the time? So you went to, like, all of us go and see our grandparents on the weekend, right? But you were there and you were like, I've got an amazing playground.
So John and Anne, who are my grandparents, they arrived at Poulton's in 1978. And then park opened in 1983. A long project to actually get to the point of a park actually being open, because when they arrived, it was quite run down and not very well looked after, and there was a lot of work to do. But so my parents would have been, dad would have been in his 20s when they started the park. So dad's been here now 40 odd years. He won't thank me for saying that necessarily. it's our life, really. It's our home. So that's why we're so passionate about it.
No, that absolutely makes perfect sense.
And it comes across.
Yeah.
It comes across. Really does.
My family's actually, I'm not from that area at all. I'm from South Wales, but my family all live in Southampton. And I remember going when I was younger, when I visited my grandparents in Southampton, and we'd go for a day out at Poulton's Park. It was a very different place back then. So for anyone who didn't visit in the sort of 80s, what could you have expected then?
Yeah, so from 1983, we were park and bird gardens before a theme park. So we had a collection of animals, a variety of different birds, and different sort of petting zoo kind of animals. And we had things like wallabies and deer and these kind of things that people come and look at. Our first ride was the Rio Grande train, which was 1986, and obviously still here today, although a different colour. But still running well and still a very popular attraction here at the park. As the park grew up over the 80s and 90s, we started adding more and more attractions. Really, the first big attraction was the Raging River Ride in 1999. We'd had sort of roller coasters before that as well, but very, very small ones. And it was at that point, really, then they started realising, well, this needs to be a full-day attraction. And that's when Dad started putting in the sort of more smaller flat rides, like the drop towers, just smaller rides like that. And then Cobra 2006, which is a largest investment at the time, turning 20 years old next year. And which is crazy. And we just kept adding rides every year, and then it, Peppa Pig World in 2011 really changed the place and doubled our visitor number. And it was then that allowed us to do the larger projects such as Lost Kingdom and Tornado Springs. So it's been an evolution, but at the heart of it all has always been a family day out, being able to do things together as a family, a quality experience, and ensuring people, have a good day.
Yeah. I mean, you say your dad, obviously, he was the one, I guess, who made the first transformative steps into what we see today. Would he go and visit other theme parks as well, or would he just be like, "Nah, I think we need this." Like, what kind of gave him the path to take?
I don't think it was that scientific. We did do a lot of visiting of theme parks, but to be honest, I think we just looked at attractions. Budget was obviously going to be a big consideration back then. What
Yeah.
could we get for the price? You have to
Get him on, Dad. Where are you?
ask
And am I right in thinking that you weren't sure you were going to get into this business? You wanted to be a pilot.
Where have you heard that from?
Listen,
She has her sources, be
Has her
warned.
sources.
Never let
Yeah,
it be said that this podcast isn't well researched.
that is true. So there was a period where I thought I wanted to be a pilot, and I went to a bit of flight training and stuff, but never progressed it far enough to get to that stage. But I just it's my home at the end of the day, and that's what we love doing. And we really, really enjoy it, and I think that comes across in the product that we put out.
Yeah,
Did you visit
definitely.
other theme parks yourself, Lawrence?
Oh
Did
yeah, we
you
do a
grow up
lot
going to
of
the parks? Which was your
yeah we
favorite park growing up, as well as Poulton's, of course?
yeah we visited quite a few parks. It was always a bit of a busman's holiday, really. And they were very, very busy to take us out of theme parks. So my most visited was probably Poulton's. I remember going to Legoland as a kid and getting the driving license and all
Nice.
that normal fun stuff that was always very exciting as a child, and doing Chessington, Vampire. There's some great photos of us on Vampire and stuff like that, which is quite cool. I remember going to, where did we go? I think we went to Plopsaland to look at a coaster there once. I remember going when I was quite young with dad. That was quite cool. Taken out of school and said, "Oh, it's a work trip.
I love
It's
that,
good, good." Yeah, I had to talk to the teachers and say it's good for his ongoing development.
And in fairness, I mean, look where you are now. So valid. And
Definitely
Plopsaland's
worked.
a great theme park.
Yeah.
And
This is back in 2012, 13, something like that.
well, pre-Ride to Happiness, which
Yeah,
obviously
definitely Ride to
there's a
Happiness, yeah.
massive investment for that park. I just want to say, my husband is a pilot, and you definitely made the right choice.
Yeah, long hours, hard work. Yeah, not as glamorous as everyone thinks, sort
Oh, it's
of
absolutely not. If you
No.
saw the suit, not it's not even a suit, the undergarment that he has to fly in, it would completely smash all images that Top Gun ever gave you. It's the stuff of nightmares. So yeah, running a theme park, I think, is definitely a lot more exciting, and you definitely made a wise choice.
Because I think on the podcast, one of the things we've touched on is IPs, haven't we? We've had a whole episode about our IPs, good or bad. What's their place at a theme park? Do we love original creativity in terms of coming up with IPs? But like mentioning Peppa Pig World is really interesting because we've talked about how certain family IPs have saved theme parks. We've talked about Thomas Land at Drayton Manor being a really fundamental part of that park surviving quite a difficult time. Same at Alton Towers with CBeebies Land. And I certainly was not a target market, sorry, for when Peppa Pig World opened.
Are you sure? You're
Genuinely,
so
it wasn't.
young.
I know, I'm
Didn't
not.
excite you much.
However, I've got three kids now, and Poulton certainly changed in terms of how you viewed it. And so it was Peppa Pig World's always been a really interesting one because I feel like that's what really brought you to the forefront in terms of like the family theme park market. What would you say was the most kind of impact Peppa Pig World had on Poulton's?
I think it was the travel time people were willing to make to get to us, and having that UK exclusive brand. We obviously Pepper was not the large brand it was now back in 2011 or even 2009 when, originally you were starting to commit to these projects. It would have only been 5 years old at that point. So it was still quite a new brand in the scheme of things. So there's no guarantee that an IP is gonna keep its trajectory. We're very lucky, and the risk we took paid off, and it has been very, very good for the part. But yeah, the impact that brand had on things like billboards, being able to use the Pepper Voice on the radio adverts and this kind of stuff, it's such a key message, and no one's ever seen anything like that, really. And it was a very large area, seven rides when it opened, so worth visiting for. Our short break market took off, so it shows people really wanted, we were willing to travel and stay overnight and spend 2 days at the park to go to Pepper and do the rest of Paultons. So that was probably the biggest impact, just that being able to reach those people and have something unique to talk about, really.
How does it work with an IP like that? Do you go to them? Do they come to you and say, hey, do you want to put our brand into your theme park? What's the sort of process for that?
So from what I understand, I wasn't part of the discussion, as you can imagine.
Too bad to you, too busy at school.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. See, was on PlayStation. So we did a lot of Pepper meet and greets. So maybe a weekend, Pepper would come down and meet her fans, and we'd promote that. And they were always really, really popular. So in the 2000s, we were doing that with Pepper just over a weekend or 2 weekends in the summer. And we saw that was really obviously really popular. So the discussion was had with the licensor at the time. It was would you like to do a Peppa Pig ride? And I said, well, maybe we could do two or three rides. And then the conversation sort of went from there, really. And we worked with a fantastic design agency to bring Peppa Pig World to life. And then it was up to us to build it, really. But it was a big investment at the time. And yeah, we were very happy, very grateful it paid off. And as I said, it's allowed us to now move the park on to do these larger projects, which is really exciting.
And I think it's the way you maintained it as well, Lawrence. What Poulton's does really well is the cleanliness. Everything looks clean. It doesn't look like it is like over a decade old.
50, yeah, must be
You
nearly
know,
15 years old.
it doesn't. And I think that's what works so well is you've not had to kind of, oh, I have to replace all these and redo it up again. Because
Yeah.
I think that's what you've done really well is to keep maintaining
It's
it.
got to be continual. You can't afford to leave it a year, to be honest, because otherwise then you've got 2 years of work to do within a year next year. So we've always taken that attitude. I don't know if you watched we did a construction, or not construction update, a maintenance update of the park on YouTube. So I touched on it a bit there, but things like Grandpa Pig's house was starting to rot underneath, so I had to replace the timber structure, completely rebuilt, re-rendered. All the walls get repainted every year, so all the very bright walls, they all get repainted, and all the facades get redone every year. So decorators come in from sort of November through to January to do that work. It's important. Pepper's a very bright brand as well. Lots of primary colors, lots of very bright colors. So if you let those fade, then it's noticeable straight away.
And you must be overjoyed when you found out they were having another baby.
Yes, it's very exciting. Yeah.
Because you must have been thinking, this is great, because this will just keep this good thing going for
It's
even longer.
fantastic. It is fantastic. It's a good way to relaunch, you get people talking about the brand again, and it's been people meeting Evie has been very popular here at Poulton, so that's really good. And come on down, you can meet Evie Pig at Poulton's Park.
Do you get sort of check-ins as well from the brand owner? Do they come in and like say, right, yeah, this is meeting our standards?
They do, yeah. We have regular catch-ups with Hasbro and stuff, so it's a very open relationship we have with them, and they're very supportive.
Well, yeah, like you say, it completely transformed, I think, how the general public viewed Poultons, and definitely put you on the map. I'm sure there are plenty of people who've never even heard of you until you put Peppa Pig World in. If you live in, I live in Lincolnshire, it's a long way to go. So yeah, it was something like that. And like you say, taking the risk. We know IP risks don't always pay off, and we know we've talked about it on this podcast. Sometimes they age out, and then you have a park left with a problem. So, as you say, it's a risk which paid off, but a calculated risk, I think, and one based with some intelligence behind it.
And it is part of our, not challenge, but part of our thinking over the next few years is to try and everyone knows Peppa Pig World, but not everyone knows Poulton's Park. And that's something that we've pushed ourselves because we've done a lot of marketing over Peppa Pig World. But now showing people that, yes, we are Peppa Pig World, and it's excellent. Please come for that. But we do have things for older kids as well. So it's getting that message across as
Because
well,
that's what you've
which is
done a really
important.
good job with doing as well, is making it's not just Peppa Pig World. Because that's what I think originally when that started, it was I'm going to go to Peppa Pig World. But now it's like people are going, I'm going to Poulton's now, isn't it? That's what you're trying to do, isn't it? Trying to get that whole
Absolutely.
brand sort of feel, not just, it's just Peppa Pig World.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Obviously, Lost Kingdom and Tornado Springs are a big part of that. I guess Lost Kingdom was a like kids love dinosaurs. Let's do a dinosaur. Like it's such a great, theme to go
Correct,
on,
yeah.
and there's so much creativity you can do with it. But obviously, that must have been a big investment for you at the time as well. There's a lot in that area of the park. It's three roller coasters. There's a lot of theme parks that'd be happy with that, and then just one small area.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was and it's as you say, the theme was an educated choice because we know kids love dinosaurs and it goes across genders as well. Which is important that you appeal to not just boys, you want to appeal to girls as well. Which is important to us, and it's an evergreen. It's not, you can't really call it a brand, but there's a lot of, and there's always a lot of marketing going on around dinosaurs as well, with things coming out in mainstream media as well. So it's always being talked about, which is good. So it works really well as a theme. It's not the most unique theme in the world, but it doesn't have to be. It needs to be well done, and yeah, if your child loves dinosaurs, then you're going to visit.
That's exactly that is such an important point, isn't it? It's how you do that theme, isn't it? It's not just putting it down because you think, oh, this will be, people will just come because it's that theme. I think it is how you do it. And I remember my first daughter was very young at the time, and we were watching something special on CBeebies, and there's a whole bit at Poulton's in that area. And I remember sitting watching going, where's that? That looks really good. Where I've not and then I had to and then found out it was at Poulton's, and it was like, this is great. This is great. Because by that point, my daughter was then, you go to Peppa Pig, but then there's a dinosaur theme there as well. And so it was, yeah, really, really good. But it's how you do that. And that the roller coasters there are great again for that family market. Because then they're not intimidating enough that they're going to go, well, I'm not going on that, but they've got enough thrill that it gives you that sense of that achievement that when you've been on, Flight of the Pterosaur and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a great ride for the pterosaur. It's fantastic, and the fact you can get a meter high child on it is perfect. But I know adults that won't go on it. So it you get such a range. You get 4-year-olds on it, and you get adults that don't want to go on it. So you do get such a range of people on it, which is great. And it's always one of the rides that people run to first when they go in the park.
It's nice that I think the coasters in that area kind of step up as well. So you start with Dino Chase, and then you can go, okay, well then the next stage is this one. Like maybe I would say Flight of the Terror, and then Velociraptor. Actually, I'd say that maybe in that order. But you can kind of work your kids through the stages. So my daughter went on Monday, and we only did Dino Chase. She looked at the others, and she was like, no. And she is 4, and she's a meter, but they were just a bit too intimidating for her. But I know that the next time we go, maybe in a year's time or so, she'll be ready for the next one and the next one.
And
So
that's the key, isn't it? Keeping them interested enough to come back. That's always, you don't want to finish everything in one visit.
Yeah, exactly that. It's like, and she has it in her head. She's like, when I'm bigger, I'm going to go on that. So it's, yeah, I guess for you guys, from a marketing point of view, that's awesome. I do want to shout out the staff in that area, the sort of interactive dinosaur
The
staff.
ranges, yeah.
They were so good with my daughter. I was there on my own because my husband is overseas at the moment. And they were just fantastic, like Disney level. Entertainment staff. One of the guys had brought the baby dinosaur out in the box, which kind of moves and is really interactive. And then we did the T-Rex, the 4-year-old T-Rex meet and greet. And we'd done the Toothless meet and greet at Epic Universe, which she absolutely loved. But she loved your dinosaur meet and greet just as much because it's a very similar thing. It's so interactive, and the staff were amazing on that. So.
Yeah, good. Yeah, the ends team fantastic, and they love it as well. They you can tell they absolutely love what they do, which is important as well, because you've got to really. And yeah, the way they interact with the kids and stuff is so important. So yeah, I'm glad your daughter's had a good time.
She loved it. And just talking about the staff in general, that was something that I definitely picked up on. And I know other people have commented on that how good the staff are genuinely at Paultons. And theme park staff recruitment is a challenge in a lot of places. I've had Mark Shaw on this podcast who talks about recruiting theme park staff and what he had to do when he was in Australia to get the best staff and the difference that getting five-star staff, as he calls it, can make to a theme park. What is it that you do that you think gives you these staff members who seem to absolutely genuinely love what they're doing day in, day out?
Perhaps we're just very lucky, but we obviously the training is very important. We have a behind all the staff are a fantastic team of team leaders and supervisors and managers that look after them, and our ENT team have obviously their own supervisors and team leaders as well that drive those standards, and that's really important as well. It's all about it is all in the training, and it's all in you can't always teach, you can't really teach charisma, you can't teach that aspect of you've got to be quite outgoing to work here, but it's not necessary that you it's a requirement. You can come out your shell a bit here. We always say that when people work at Paultons, it's they might start a little bit shy, but you don't really have the opportunity to be shy. You're talking to people every single minute. You're interacting with guests. You're interacting with your colleagues, and a lot of people leave, having grown a bit as a person, which is really nice. But yeah, it's a lot of it's in the training. It's in creating an environment that is welcoming and relaxed to work at. But also, having the serious hat on as well. If you're working in a different environment, such as F&B or ride operating, there's a lot of health and safety aspects that we have to cover as well. So, it's a wide variety of skills, and yeah, it's down to our team of managers and supervisors and team leaders really that drive those standards.
Yeah, because first impressions are very important, and for a park like Paultons as well, because you're probably getting a lot of people visiting for the first time, and first impressions are so important, and I think staff
Absolutely.
are a major factor in that as well, actually, in terms of how people, not just, we talk about how clean Paultons is and how it looks, but also from a staff point of view as well, how you're interacted with as a guest, and I think that's really important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we make a conscious decision to have manned turnstiles. So, we don't have automated turnstiles. People can we could do that if we wanted to. We could have people scan their own tickets and this kind of thing. But we think when you arrive, you should be welcomed, greeted. Hello, here's a map. Have a good day. That starts your day off right. And then you should be getting that everywhere. They can give a if a child's birthday, they give out a birthday badge and make a fuss of them, and it sets that day off and sets the tone for the rest of the day, hopefully.
It's a really good point, actually. I hadn't even really thought about how much we are used to automated ticket entry now at theme parks. We do just go up and we scan our thing and go in, and sometimes you don't speak to anyone. Do you find that you do well with staff retention as well, that people tend to stay with you a long time?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have people in our, I mean, our permanent team doesn't change all that much, to be honest. So we have about 140, 150 members of the team that are permanent. And then our seasonal team is made up of a lot of returners. We have people that have worked here, 7, 8, 9 seasons on the bounce, really, possibly even more than that. And that makes our lives a lot easier as a management team to not have to train, retrain everything out again. They come already with the skills at the start of the year, and a quick refresh, and they're ready to go. And they understand the Paultons sort of DNA, which is important as well. So, you get that consistency of staff. But we do have to recruit. We recruit a lot of university students, but we also recruit a lot of people that are, in retirement as well. So we have a very large range of people that, and it's we love having the slightly more experienced team members as well, because they give you a completely different set of characteristics than the younger team member would.
Absolutely. I think you can tell that as well, that you have got people there who've worked there a long time, and like I said, they just clearly love what they do. And I think Mark said on our episode that I recorded with him when he was talking about staff recruitment, if you hire the right people in the first place, you save yourself so many hassles later down the
Yeah, I
line.
mean, one good member of staff could be worth three other members of staff. So, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about Lost Kingdom. Let's move on to Tornado Springs, which again was a huge investment for the park. I think one of the best themed areas in the UK. Like, just
Without a doubt.
and we talk about maybe Lost Kingdom isn't a unique theme. I think Tornado Springs is a really unique themed area. And I absolutely love it. Again, great mix of rides. Were you quite integral to the development of that area?
Yeah, we were quite involved in that, which was nice. I was more in the marketing team at that point, so a lot more focused on the social side of it and the production of some of the media we did and the promotion of it. But yeah, I enjoyed walking around site and yeah, I was here when we built that one, which is really nice to see it coming out the ground. Very exciting to see a roller coaster being built, definitely.
Yeah, well, not just one, two roller coasters as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Farmyard Flyer was my daughter's favorite ride. I
That's a
think we
fantastic
went on
ride,
it.
actually.
It's honestly, it really, as a family coaster,
It's probably one of my favorite coasters in the park, to be honest, just because the theme
the
and the
theme is
soundtrack
amazing.
and the
Yeah.
you know it's not a thrill coaster, of course. It's relatively short. You do get two laps on it though, which is nice.
Yeah, and what she liked about it is that the lift hill isn't too big because she's of an age where they can be quite intimidating, and she liked that you were up the top quite quickly.
And the train's stunning. The Zero did such a good job on the train.
I've never seen a roller coaster train like
And the
that.
propeller actually spins. I love
Yeah,
that.
if you haven't
That's
seen
so
it,
clever.
it's themed to an aeroplane, and yeah, it has a propeller on the front which actually spins. Yeah, I wondered if it was some of your inner pilot dreams that influence all, because there's so much pilot branding around the station.
There are some
Just
Easter eggs in there. You can spot me in the ride area if you look hard enough.
All right.
Yeah, and a few of the other members of the family and the team as well, which is quite nice.
Oh, I'm going to have to do that next time. So yeah, there's that, and obviously Storm Chaser is the big sort of landmark ride. And was that your first time working with Mac when that got
It
put
wasn't
in?
actually, no. So Mac did the small boat ride in Pepper, the sailing club.
Okay,
That's a Mac spinning boat. Yeah, the first coaster from Mac.
And a fantastic ride. I sadly didn't get to go on it on Monday because my daughter didn't fancy it. And again, she's big enough to go on it, and that's the nice thing, I think, is that if you do go as a family, and Kev appreciates this, we quite often have to get split up to go and ride things because of height restrictions and stuff. But actually, at Portons, we could go on everything. It's just she's just not quite
And you have a nice
not quite
mix as well.
there.
So we've talked about this, haven't we, before, about at certain parks you've either got big thrill rides but no family rides around it, which Poulton's does great if you've got Storm Chaser, but then you've got other things around it. So if you do have to split, you've not got to go from one side of the park to the other. Well, you go on these, you've got a thrill ride right there. But yeah, I there's something about that area, Tornado Springs. I think it's because it's a unique kind of theme. I think that's why I think it works really well. And just love spinning coasters as well. They're just good
Yeah,
fun
the Max
because you get
spins
a
are
unique
great.
ride, don't you? You get
Yeah,
that
you
kind
do.
of unique ride of you go on again because you might go this way, sideways, backwards,
I'll
and
tell you, it's running quick at the moment. It is intense at the moment. Yeah, it's so much fun at the moment. Yeah, because the heat, you run it in the if you go on it in the afternoon, it's a different ride.
Amazing. There's such so much detail in that area. Did your little trips to Legoland as a kid with the driving school influence you? We've got to have a driving school ride.
We have always wanted a driving school. I mean that, and they're so popular. They're so popular. And also ours is nice because again it's that ethos of doing things together. So our cars, a parent can sit on the back of the car with the child to ride with them, which means we can get a much younger child on the ride. So always making those decisions based on can the family do it together? And like you say, it's balancing the attractions. We have Storm Chaser, but right next to it are the 2-0 drop towers, which have got, I think, a 90 centimeter height limit. You've got Farmer Fly, obviously, which opened a bit later. Lost Kingdom, you've got the smaller Dino Chase, and you've got Dino Torco, Boulder Dash, those smaller flat rides that the smaller kids can go on. So, like you say, if older kids is queuing for 20 minutes, 15 minutes to get on Pterosaur, the mum and the dad and another child can go on another ride. So it's important. And we try and have attractions that the whole family can go on together. And that was really important with Pepper as well. There's only one ride. I hope it's right. There's only one ride in Pepper with a height restriction. So we advise that children under 12 months shouldn't go on it, but they can if the parent feels like they're in a sling or it's safe enough to go on. And it's doing everything together and making memories together because you don't want to be stood behind a fence waving at your child going around a ride. You want to experience it with them, really.
Exactly, because I don't know if you've had this experience, Bex, with driving schools where your child is like, you can't obviously go and help them, can you? And you have to do this thing of drive that way.
We did actually change.
Turn the wheel.
Turn the wheel around.
When we first opened it, we were having too many issues with because you can get. I think it's 85 centimeters. You can get a child on the driving school. So with an adult, obviously, we've said that if you're an adult with a child, you should be the one controlling the foot pedal, not the child.
I did read that instruction. However, yes. My daughter was not having any of it. She's like, no, I'm doing the pedal.
Yeah, easier said than done. But we just had people. Yeah, we just the cars just weren't moving. The kids were just sat there.
But yeah, and you're right, it's the first time I've ever been on one of those with her, and I'm slightly terrifying, but
nervous when she turns 17, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of foreshadowing the future. But yeah, just absolutely loved it, loved the area. She wasn't big enough for Cyclinator. I love a gyro swing.
You
so,
do.
I just love
you missed out on that one as well then.
I know I'm cursing my husband not being here, but next time I will definitely get on it. Brilliant. And that brings us on to your most recent investment, which of course is Ghostly Manor. Now this kind of put you front and center of all our screen.
Yeah.
You were doing a Francis Jackson, as I like to call it. And you became the face of Poulton's with your construction updates. Was that something quite strategic from your point of view that you felt like you should do?
Yeah, it was one of those. We wanted to a dark ride is known to be hard to market. You know, it is tricky to get across what it is, especially being a unique ride system in the UK as well. And look, we're lucky that we chose the theme that was pretty easy to explain. You know, you could explain it in one sentence. It's a haunted house. You shoot the ghosts. You know, you can get that message across, and it's all about having a simple message in marketing. Mm-hmm. But just to really subsidize that, we wanted to do the videos just to help explain what it is, and obviously for the enthusiasts as well, engaging with you guys. We love doing that was really nice as well, but it allowed us just to add a bit more detail to the marketing as well, and just people really started to understand, oh right, okay, so it's indoors, I can see how it rotates now, I can understand that, I'm starting to get the story, and so it just added a bit more clarity to the marketing, we hope, and something we want to continue with as well.
I was certainly very excited, Lawrence, when I knew they were doing a dark ride. I'm a big dark ride fan, and particularly like haunted attractions.
I mean, your t-shirt says it all.
Phantom
yeah,
Manor.
Yeah, yeah. A bit of inspiration came from
anything
there.
That has Manor on the end, I'm there. So it was really exciting to see. But I liked how you did the videos, because it didn't. You kind of gave some teasers about it, but you didn't give too much away, because I've tried to stop watching POVs now of things, because I want to be surprised, particularly on a dark ride like that. So sadly, I haven't been down to Poulton's yet this year, so I've yet to experience Ghostly Manor, but I'm really looking forward to it. It looks very immersive how you've done the queue line, and I know you explained that in your videos, which I think again is what is turning a lot of heads to Poulton's, because I think one of the things that makes me go back is finding new things to see and experience. And when something like Ghostly Manor opens, there's the immersiveness that intrigues you enough that you go on it, and then you're like, oh, I need to go back there again, because I'm sure there are things I've missed. And I think that's what you did really well, from what I've seen anyway, of the queue line. But again, you could have used an IP there, but you didn't. You chose to do something that's totally unique to Poulton's, which I really like. I really like that it's something that's unique to you, that nowhere in the world will you find that kind of IP. So, you know, from looking outwards in, you know, you did a really good job with that.
Yeah, it is always fun creating your own brand, and it comes with its risk. You know, you have to spend a lot of time trying to explain the story and promoting that brand as well. But I think it's worth it in the end, because you get something that you can really, it's really yours and you can really own. And yeah, with the theming and the landscaping at the front, we have such a talented team of landscapers and gardeners here that they do such a fantastic job on that. And it really, it's so important to an attraction that you have that finishing touch at the end, just to make it look like it's always been there. That's always what we want to do. It's always important to us that it doesn't look, you know, new. Mm-hmm. You know, it is new, but it shouldn't look new amongst the rest of the park. You know, everything should look new. So that's really important to us. And yeah, the facade, our theming artist did such an amazing job creating that. It really is incredible. And it's really transformed that building. And we were, yeah, really excited when we saw that ride system from Mac and from Lagatronics that we could fit a dark ride with a decent length inside that building. Because that was always our worry. You know, we didn't want to do a dark ride that was two or three scenes. Yeah, it feels a bit pointless. You do want to give a long experience in there. So having eight playable scenes in that ride is for such a small area is really, really cool.
And how did you find the challenge with that kind of technology as well? And like, how was that with in terms of obviously installing something like that? Because again, it's new technology for you, isn't it? And so it must take quite a bit of time to learn the how it all works, and particularly
Yes, it has,
if with
yeah.
maintenance and stuff.
Well, we've not had a single day where Ghost Man has not been open, which is pretty
Amazing.
cool. So it's been up for a lot for most of the for most of the time it's been here. And every day you visit the park, you have an opportunity to go on it. Normally it's the open up in the morning that takes a bit of time, but we're getting better at that. Obviously, Lagatronics came and did the install, and we learned a lot from them while they were doing it. It isn't brand new technology; it's very cutting edge, which is cool. The way the phasers know where they are within the ride, and all the sensors in there and everything, it's very impressive. And it has worked really well. It's been pretty, touch wood, pretty consistently good. So, and the reviews have been great as well. We love seeing it from the enthusiasts, but on our traditional guests, if you put it that way, have been loving it as well. Lots of re-rides going back on and trying to beat their score. And it's a busy time of year at the moment for school kids, that with reward visits and things like that. And they're loving it as well. So that's really cool. So something we're really proud of. And it's settled into park really nicely.
Yeah, you mentioned not wanting it to look brand new, and I think you're absolutely right. It looks like there has been a haunted house there for a long time, and the railings and the queue line area. I think the haunted swing, which just rocks back and forth. I'd say they're like little John Wardleyisms, like little things that he would have done, which
Yeah, that
just
was
add to it.
our engineering team actually made that little swing
Did they?
themselves. Yeah, they put that in there themselves. So that's pretty cool.
It's
And it's
really,
cool.
really
We give
nice.
them the opportunity to do that as well. We say, yeah, you know, have some space and see what you can create. And they come up with some really cool stuff. So yeah, it's quite cool. And the well and the little voice in the well and stuff. It's just little things in there. Don't want to spoil it too much for Kev.
But that's what makes it. Those little, I don't know, I'm not listening. But that's what makes it. That's what makes these sorts of rides, even someone at my age, still loves about it, is that feeling of I can literally take myself out of where I am into a whole nother place and just feel completely immersed in it. So from what I've seen, it does look really good.
And it's a nice little nod to our history as well, because the so before we arrived, it was a big estate, and there was a big manor house here that burnt down in 1963. So there was a Poulton's estate, which was spread over thousands of acres. The park doesn't, you know, sit on all of that. But when our grandparents bought it, they bought the lot with the site of the old house on. So when you walk around the park, you know the rockery in the middle with the fountain. So that's where the house used to sit. And those little bits underneath, you know, where you can go in the little arches, and if you saw those, so they were the old wine cellars for the house, which is quite cool. So kids can go in there and look up and stuff. So there's quite a lot of
That's
history
clever.
at Poulton's, but it's a nice nod, having a little, you know, ghostly
A
manor
manor
in the
house.
corner. Yeah, which looks a little bit similar to the Poulton's manor back in the day.
Are you telling me that it could possibly be actually haunted?
It could be possibly be actually haunted,
One thing I
Get
do need to
the
ask
phases
about Ghostly Manor, because I did have to deal with a meltdown on this. Why is there an age restriction on it, and what's your kind of thinking behind that? Because I went with a 4-year-old, and we did build it up, and she loves a shooting dark ride, and I was like, it's cool, it'll shoot ghosts. And I was like, oh, actually, sorry, you can't go on it.
Yeah, it was a. We did talk about it a lot, and it's not just about the content in there. You know, there are some scary parts, but we do appreciate that some kids are going to be fine with that, and some kids aren't. What we didn't want to happen was we were having lots of show stops for kids that weren't enjoying it. And I appreciate that's not always fair on the kids that can't go on it, but it's not. It's also about the evacuation of the ride if you haven't needed to, the restraint that's used on the ride, making sure that people are secure on the ride as well. So there's lots of different things we discussed, not just internally with our external engineers who inspect the rides as well. And we have to come up with a number that we feel is safe at the end of the day. And yeah, it is a shame that people some kids that would be fine on it do miss out, but we have a fantastic offering for a 4-year-old child, probably the best in the UK. So that was the thought behind it.
Do you think you'll ever revisit that, or do you think that is it will happen
We
on it?
might review it. Yeah, I ne never say never. Now we've had it for a bit and seeing how kids react to it as well. But there's still the restraint and the evacuation side of it as well that we need to consider, because being an indoor ride, that is quite important. Because you get into lots of other restrictions as well in terms of how fast people can evacuate, and all that stuff.
But there's no height restriction on it either, so that again is a that does help, I think, as well, kind of balance it out.
Okay, well, I will feed that back to her.
It probably won't help at all.
I think by the next, she's 4 and a half, so by the next time we go, probably, although she is already hassling me to go back, she'll probably be big enough. But I know that that was a question that quite a few people had.
Yes,
When things like Curse of Alt Manor and Kev's t-shirt, Phantom Manor, don't have an age restriction, just what the theory was behind it being an age, but that, makes sense if you've got evacuation issues and stuff like that. Okay, so that was 2025. We have to talk about 2026, which is really, I mean, we've talked about these various points which have moved Portons on. 2026 has got to be a huge game changer for you as a family, for you as a marketer. This has got to be the next evolution of Portons, right? With your plans.
Yes, I think so. It's all about expanding that demographic a little bit and attracting the slightly older child and giving the children that have enjoyed the park for the last 4 or 5 years, now they're getting a bit older, something else to look forward to and go on. And it's obviously the attraction we've chose is obviously it's causing a bit of debate,
Well, we'll get on
which
to
is
that.
fine.
For anyone who hasn't heard, for whatever reason, so you're building a Viking themed area called Valgard, and this is going to be near the Lost Kingdom area of the park, so that side of the park. Construction's already happening. It looked very busy over there when I was there this week, and amongst a couple of family rides, you are building a Gerstlauer Eurofighter. Which we there was a lot of rumors in the enthusiast community you were putting a coaster in. There was a lot of people getting crazy ideas about what that coaster. I mean, I hadn't heard someone say it's going to be an RMC, and
Yes,
that's
yeah, it's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be a single rail, and we've seen it all.
You've seen it, heard it. I have to say, a Gerstlauer Eurofighter was the bottom of my prediction list for Pawn's Park. So,
The top of your wish list.
now look. Now I mentioned my husband's a pilot. He flies the Eurofighter, the actual Eurofighter.
Awesome.
I don't particularly love Eurofighters, but I know you're going to tell me not to worry. So talk me through your thinking as a team with the Eurofighter.
Yes, so yeah, so Gerstlauer Eurofighter. So obviously we worked with Gerstlauer before on the bobsled, which is Cobra, which we have a very good relationship with them, and we needed an attraction that would appeal to that slightly older child, and we made that decision relatively late in our planning. So there was a time consideration as well to consider. We felt we needed something in the theme park world relatively quickly, within sort of two or 3 years, which is quite quick for a roller coaster in terms of planning and construction. And Gerstlauer were able to supply that. We worked with them before, just so we have a good relationship with them. They are popular rides in theme parks, even if they're not popular amongst enthusiasts. You know,
And this is it. We're a
we
small
have to
demographic.
consider. Yes, unfortunately so. Well, as I said, we love engaging with you all. Probably don't make up 1% of our visitation. So for all the school kids coming in today, they'll probably love it, you know, and they'll enjoy it. And that's what we wanted to go for, is that sort of step up, you know, as Storm Chaser was, and it's another step up without doing too much too quickly. It's, you know, walk before you can run, and that's sort of also what we did with Cyclator, which has been really, really popular as well. It's a more thrilling attraction. So we've seen that that's what people enjoy and people like, and we have a fantastic offering for a meter high child at the moment, which is only a 4-year-old. So at the moment, a 4 or 5-year-old could go on every roller coaster at Poulton's. We wanted to have something that would change that, so that they had a bit of an aspiration, a bit more of a reason for people to visit. And if they have a slightly older child in their family, they would also want to, they wouldn't say, oh no, we won't go to Poulton's because there's nothing for our 9-year-old. Well, there is. And that was the thinking behind it. And we're still very, very happy with the decision and confident that it will do well for us.
And I've heard a lot of people say the new, I mean, look, our problem with Eurofighters, as you can imagine, is that they get rough, and I don't like having a headache. But the newer Eurofighters, I have heard on good authority, are a lot better. I have no doubt that you guys will maintain it to the absolute best of your abilities, which should, I mean, it's going to be an interesting experience for me to experience a smooth Eurofighter.
I mean, look at Cobra. I mean, that was 2006, and that is still smooth. And it is important that you look after these rides. That is important, and I guarantee that our engineering team are very focused on that.
Yeah,
I mean, what's the plan with Cobra and that whole era? Are you planning to kind of continue that, to build that into the Viking theme, or are you keeping that as a separate? Is there a plan for
no,
that?
No, it's all
kind of
included. Yeah,
part?
So Cobra's having a retheme.
Okay, cool.
So it'll be repainted as well. That's quite a long process,
awesome.
But starting in September.
Nice. With the Eurofighter, it's going to have a custom layout, and like you say, it's going to be that next stage up. It's going to be the first inverting coaster at Poulton, so that's a big deal for you as well.
Two inversions,
nice.
For some of the children who visit, potentially it's going to be the first time they go upside down on a roller coaster. That's a very memorable event for a child. So, was that part of your thinking behind it as well?
Yes, definitely. Having an inverted coaster is, that's what theme parks are known for, isn't it? And that's why people go to theme parks to be thrilled and excited and get their adrenaline levels up. So we felt we needed a coaster that would do that, and the Eurofighter was the obvious choice. And obviously the way it interacts with Cobra as well, where it goes underneath Cobra's lift tail and up through the main helix, is going to be a very cool element, I think, and really going to create a fantastic photo opportunity and a very easy image to market as well.
Will it have a vertical lift?
Yep.
Kev hates a vertical lift.
Don't hate them.
He gets intrusive thoughts.
You just make me feel a bit uneasy.
Well, there you go. See, it's an intimidating attraction.
It is. I think they are intimidating. I think they are. I think it's absolutely going to be a step up. I think it's quite a big step up, actually, to go from, I don't know, what would be the next biggest, Storm Chaser or...
Storm Chaser, I mean, Storm
so, yeah.
Chaser will be the most intense.
Just visually, I think vertical lift hills are very intimidating. It's going to change the skyline as you drive into the car park. It's going to look very different to have that standing over us. But I am excited to see what you guys do with it, because if anyone is going to install a Gerstlauer Eurofighter, well, I have faith that you guys are the ones to do it.
Well, we've already
it.
Installed half of it. Half of it's in the ground already. So
is it?
As in the
I
foundations.
Can't see. You've got all your Harris fencing up and your banners.
When are we going to start seeing your videos, Lawrence, as well? When's that going to start?
Probably after summer. We'll look to do some of those.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess my other thought is that because it's Viking themed, I mean, how is your plan to make it different?
Mm-hmm.
We know Drake the Manor has a Viking area. There's probably a few little bits around the country. What's your plan to try and differentiate it from others?
Well, one of our mission statements is to be the best in everything we do. So ours will hopefully be the best. That's what we hope to do. So we are. It will have its own twist on it. Of course, there'll be lots of different little bits of theming items. Hopefully, even more so than Tornado Springs to look at and enjoy, and some cool things going in there that are being manufactured at the moment. So really exciting seeing the in process pictures of those at the moment. I think it's just, we're going to really push the quality And I don't know if you've seen any of the images of the theming that has already started to go on the buildings and stuff, but our chippies are working on that at the moment, and it's already looking fantastic. We've got our theming artists here that are working on some of the painting already at the moment. So we're getting on with it and starting early enough. You know, it will still be a Viking area. There's no getting away from that. But we have tried to add a little story to it, and each ride has its own little story. As well, and of course we teased the new ride for 2027 as well in our Superfans event, which will make Valgard even bigger.
Yeah, and having seen it up close, the station building as well is big.
It's
It's it
huge. Yeah, it's a big building.
yeah. So yeah, it's going to be very visually impressive, I think. Obviously, we've seen the renderings and stuff, but yeah, when we see it in real life, you've got a couple of other attractions. Well, you've got the wild, is it Wild Swing going in there?
Art Engineering Wild Swing, which is
Yeah.
I don't know if either of you have ever done one of those.
No, they're
No,
building one at Plopsaland as well, aren't they?
they're building lots of them. They're a very, very popular ride at the moment. And there's not one in the UK.
No.
James and I went to Tripstall last year to ride the one there. Absolutely loved it. Really, really good rides. And actually, it doesn't look much if you see what a bit, but it really gives you a proper swing on
Yeah.
the way down and stuff, and you get a real feeling in your stomach, which is lovely. And it's another offset. You know, we got that big roller coaster there, but we wanted an attraction that still the smaller kids can go on as well.
Yeah.
There'll be a playground as well in the area for smaller kids,
Amazing.
and obviously Cobra's at a 1.1 meter height limit as well. So
Yeah.
still plenty for the younger child to do over there, and not forgetting the large restaurant as well. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into these buildings. Is it, the building in itself is a big project, let alone building a coaster next to it. So
Yeah, I saw that the other day. It looks huge. The Eurofighter, that's gonna be called, is it Draken or Draken?
Well, I say Dracon. I mean, you can say whatever you want. Dracon,
We'll
dragon,
go with what you say, Lawrence.
yeah. I
That's
mean,
what you're saying, isn't it? That's what it is, I think.
what's the height restriction going to actually be on that?
At the moment, we've got 1.25 in our heads.
Okay,
So
so
that's what we've
slight
got at
step up from Cobra, which is getting renamed as Raven, is that right?
Raven,
Yeah. Okay. So
But
again,
compared
you've
to
got the
repainted.
but compared to other Eurofighters, which are like 1.4s,
Yeah.
so again, that means like two of my children who aren't 1.4 yet can go on that. So that's exciting.
You can get on that lift, little
I'll go on. Hey, I'll
Kev.
still go on it, whether I like the vertical lift or not.
Close your eyes
You
all the
know,
way to the top.
absolutely. But there's something, rides are a lot more intense when your kids are on it, I can tell you. Like, when you're on a big roller coaster with your children, it becomes more intense. So there's going to be even more intense, which I'm looking forward to. Sort of.
I think this is going to be great. And I'm really excited to see what you guys do with it. We have to mention, looking, I know we get ourselves worked up about stuff like this as enthusiasts, and I do
I wonder
apologize
what's
for it.
coming.
No.
Wow.
We're never happy. We're never like, oh, you're building this huge themed area. But what next? So looking slightly further ahead, I'm not even going to put a date on it for you. But there is clearly some construction work also happening on the other side of the hedge from this Viking area, shall we say, near Magma. There's clearly some work going on there. There's clearly a lot of Herres fencing. There are rumors swirling amongst enthusiasts that there's a Mack water coaster going in there. Now, I'm not expecting you to confirm or deny it for me.
I'll let the rumors continue to swirl.
I will say
Swirl, he said
is,
swirl.
I
Is
did
that a
say
clue? Is that a
swell.
clue?
All I would say is I would love to see a Mack water coaster in the UK. So, I mean, it would be great.
Have to wait and see, won't
There's some very
we?
nerdy people, much more nerdy than me or Kev, who identify things by footers and who think
Yes,
that
yes, yes.
they can
I
see.
wouldn't
Yeah.
have a clue. Maybe we just had some left over from Storm Chaser. We've left them there.
It's just a decoy. That would be hilarious. Put them down, the enthusiasts are going
To be fair, it is
nuts.
possible because, like Splash Lagoon, it was nice to get a classic kind of log flume style ride back in the UK. We talked about this before, haven't we? We're losing
Yeah,
log
with log
flumes, but
flumes, yeah.
Splash Lagoon kind of gives us that vibe. Maybe water coaster,
If you do build one, please do a station like the one at Efteling, because that is my favourite ride station of all time. So just
Yes,
be
that's a fantastic. The Flying Dutchman, isn't it, actually? Yeah, I can't say it in Dutch.
No, that's why I just all right, thanks for picking me up on that.
Yeah, that's a different manufacturer, isn't it? Never remember who manufactures that one. It's quite a niche manufacturer, but it's so good.
Special.
I love
Oh,
that. I love that water coaster. Yeah,
when you walk into that whole queue line station building, really,
it's
really
stunning. It
immersive.
is really is stunning. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
amazing.
So yes, but I'll put a date on it. So 2027 is when we said that something will happen on that patch of land. But yeah, not gonna say what it is quite
You're
yet.
going to
But
have
it'll be
every
exciting.
nerdy enthusiast flying their drones up, trying to get shots of that site. For,
I
obviously,
fight
because
them off with my
that's
own
what
drone.
fight them out like dogfight drones.
I guess that's what gets people talking,
Yeah.
is when people will start to say, "Oh, what Poulton's doing now?" Because
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
you've got this great effect going of
Yeah,
you've got
it's
this
always it's
coming,
in,
but
so important to have a treadmill of new product going down the line. It doesn't have to always have to be a roller coaster. You could either so yeah, the Dark Ride is a good example of that. And we do have years where we don't do anything, but we seem to have got ourselves into a bit of a rhythm at the
Well, it's definitely working. I will say I went to Europa Park just a few weeks ago, and they're celebrating their 50 years this year. They have a big exhibition for it, and
moment.
they've broken it down by year. And the thing that really struck me was that they were doing something every year. And you're like, okay, that's how this park is now so jam-packed full of attractions and shows, because continually they invested every single year. And I can see you guys kind of following suit and going that way. And I
Yeah, it's
mean,
my favorite theme park, definitely. Europa Park.
oh
It's
yeah,
fantastic.
incredible. And I don't know if you've heard this, but people do draw comparisons between you from a landscaping point of view, from the fact that you don't offer fast tracks. It's like we just don't do that here. You don't do that. You don't go for the discounts and the 2-for-1s. You go, no, this is our price. Come and pay it, but you will have a fantastic day out for that price. Do you think that influences you in some way to operate the park like that?
Yeah, we've always had that sort of methodology in our pricing to keep it simple. We don't want people to have to feel like they're coming, they're going to have to spend another 50 quid to have a good day. You've already paid the ticket price, and it's a important thing. We don't charge for car parking, which is nice. You don't feel like you're being stung on the way out, which always leaves a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, I feel. You can come here, you can pay. Yes, we're not the cheapest theme park in the UK. We completely know that, but we want to be the best. So unfortunately, that does come at a slightly higher price. But we can pretty much guarantee that if you buy a ticket, come here, you're going to have a good day. You're going to get a lot of rides, and you're going to enjoy yourself. And you don't have to pay another penny when you're in the park if you don't want to have a good day. And that's that's the ethos, really.
I think why it works well is because the money that you guys are making goes back into the park again. You're not trying to spread it across so many different other parks around wherever. It goes right back into Poulton's, and I think that's why you guys are doing so well, is because like the money, people will be happy to spend more money on food and eating there and on merchandise and stuff, because you're not having to spend extra things on like parking, fast tracks and stuff. And I guess that's why it's good, isn't it? Do you find that with being family run, that with that money just going back in, that you can just focus on yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it is a lot simpler for us. Other than not the other operators have lots and lots of sites they're looking after, which does make it more difficult. But we can focus. We're here every day. We can focus on this one site, and yeah, it is one of our advantages that we can move quite quickly as well. There's only a few people that need to make a decision. I can, if I see something, I can pick up a phone and talk to someone, and they'll sort it out. So, it's and having that team as well. Beneath us that have that same ethos as well, that want the park the best it can, want people to have a good day here, and they'll sort of move heaven and earth to make sure that happens, which is something that we're all very very grateful for, because we can't do everything. We have a fantastic team that do a lot of hard work, and something that we're very 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 appreciative of.
Just, I don't want to keep you much longer. Just a couple of quick ones for you. Do you think we'll ever see wood at Poulton's
There's lots
again?
of
So,
trees. There already is wood
there
here.
are plenty of trees. I don't want you cutting
You
them
mean
down, though.
a coaster running on some wood?
I would love to see that.
Well, never say never. You know, it's a ride type that we don't have at the moment, but there's at the moment nothing in our immediate plans for that.
And wood is very, very expensive at the moment. I do not know
Yes,
that.
and there's lots of other considerations with maintenance and how you look after it. You've got to look after even more so a wooden structure properly. So, but yes, it's a we know wooden coasters are available.
Good. I'm glad you're aware of the catalogue. And of course, just have to mention Universal. What's as a theme park operator, what are your thoughts on that coming to the UK?
I think generally we're pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be really good for the industry, really good for the country. I've thumbed through the documents. I'd say I've read them all.
I have. I was there last week.
I'd quiz you on them.
Yeah.
But the numbers that they want to be doing are huge, and I think
Yeah.
they're going to be relying on Europe a lot for those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
The UK market won't be able to sustain those daily numbers. So that's
No.
hence why the connections of the Eurostar and everything else up to Bedford
Yeah.
is really important to them. But yeah, that's a lot more people coming into the country that want to visit theme parks.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way, that's good for every theme park in the country. So important thing is now making ourselves a viable destination for those tourists.
Yeah.
Obviously, Peppa Pig's very popular in America as well, so
Yeah,
there you go.
and through Europe, I'm sure there's a dubbed version French Pepper.
Well, there are Peppa Pig lands in Europe as well. So they're she is known over there, but I think the Universal market is going to be for a slightly older child, from the coasters they're putting in or look like they're going to be putting in. But from a someone who loves theme parks, I can't wait. It's going to be excellent.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see you on opening day at
Yeah, absolutely.
the
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah. No,
think
I think it's a good thing for the industry.
yeah, absolutely. I mean that we all see it as very exciting, obviously, and we hope it is a good thing. And I think for parks like you, who are very defined in what you're doing and you know your lane and you're very clear in your vision for the park, I think it's only going to be a good thing. And it's also, like you say, it's a different market. Like the Universal market is going to be very different. It's going to be a very different proposition. If anyone thinks they're getting a Universal ticket for less than £100 a day, I think they're
Yes, it's gonna make us look very good value.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's just going to be interesting. I think the next 6 years are going to be fascinating in the UK. Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been amazing chatting to you. Like I said, we've wanted you on the podcast for so long, and we genuinely love Portons and everything that's going on there. I would say what you're doing, but I know it's not just you. I know
Yes,
you have
no,
a huge team of
I
people
try
who
not to take all the credit.
yeah. You
It's
just
good for you that you've got such a great team behind you, like putting all this stuff together, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, obviously we are very involved, but the day-to-day operation, the team do a fantastic job, and we're very focused on the new projects, and we have a fantastic projects team as well that look after the projects and make sure they're running smoothly and on time, because that's no mean feat either.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, just before you go, I have one final question for you.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where we ask our guests if you could only save one roller coaster in the whole world, everything else is getting destroyed. Which one are you going to save? I'm not going to put any pressure on you for it to have to be a Portons roller coaster. You may pick one if you choose, but it can literally be any. What
So
would
it
you
has to be
save?
rides that I've ridden or not?
It doesn't have to, no, not if
No,
there's
we've not
one that
thought
you're
about
like, yeah, if
that.
you're one like.
I've not done Velocicoaster yet, and I've just yeah, everyone says it is amazing. So I think I'd save that one just because I've not done it.
You'd save it
I
so
like
that you could
that.
go ride it. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that I like
That's
it.
a new angle, Bex, on
It is.
the
We've
Just Gotta
not
Ride
had
It
that
twist
before.
there.
No, I like it. I rode Velocicoaster a few months ago, and it is worth every bit of hype. Do you want to build one?
Sure. Have you got a spare X million?
I tell you what, I'll do you a deal. If I ever win the Euro Millions,
Yeah,
you'll be the
thanks.
first person I call.
Perfect, isn't it?
I will say Stardust Races beat it for me, but
Really? Okay,
that's a
interesting.
controversial opinion. But yeah, for me personally,
Mac will be happy with
they will. I know.
that.
Love that. Love them. Thank you so much for joining us on Parkcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you did enjoy today's episode and you haven't already, do hit subscribe. It means you're never going to miss an episode. And if you want to leave us a rating, I'll never say no. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.